Okay, well, here we go. We're still in 1 Peter. We're in chapter 4, and we're going to get right into it today. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 is where we left off last week. Peter says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Now, Peter really felt as if the days were going to be very short, and indeed they were very short for him and many of the Christians at that time, as many died to the persecution of the Romans. But we are not undergoing any persecution to the point of death here in Japan, right? And so the reality is, though, not one of us is promised another breath, are we? And so, that's the thing. The reality is, we're only one breath away from eternity. And of course, since we're not promised another breath, the end of all things may be at hand sooner than we realize. Therefore, as Peter exhorted the believers then, and us here today, even now, he says to be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, if you knew that the end was near for you, okay, how would that affect your prayers? If you knew that the end was near, how would that affect your life? Peter says we need to be serious. And so, you know, this Greek word here, it's an interesting word. Sophroneo is an interesting word. But the point is, it means to be of a right mind. It means to be sober. We need to be seriously thinking about the rest of our lives. From this point on, what's it worth? What's its purpose? What is it going to be remembered by? I've heard it said this, that some people bring happiness wherever they go. And some people bring happiness whenever they go. Okay. Some of you got that. And the thing is, would people be glad we're gone? Or would they be sad? Or would they just not even care? What is it that we want to be remembered by? Now, I'm sure that we have all made many mistakes in our past. Okay, I know I have. But I'm not talking about then. I'm talking about right now. From this day forward, we can't go back in time. We know that. So what is the rest of our lives going to be worth when it's all said and done? So many people are so caught up in their past that they have no hope for the future. And if you're that person today, I pray that you'd receive these following words from Paul the Apostle. Notice what he said here, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." So Paul's saying, hey, we are not to look back, but to reach forward to those things which are ahead. Now today is the day, as we sing the song, that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be what? Glad in it. Amen. It doesn't matter how stained, how messed up our past is. Understand, our future is spotless. Our future is spotless. We haven't messed it up yet, okay? And we don't have to with God's help. Now, let's continue. Notice verse 8 again. He says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." I love this. You know, above all things, Have this love for one another. The love here that Peter's talking about is the agape, the Greek word. It speaks of an unconditional love. The same love that God has for me and God has for you, which of course took away all of our sins and shame. And at the same time, this love of God that will cover a multitude of sins, it will also cover a multitude of sins in regards to one another. Alright? What do I mean by that? Where love abounds in a fellowship of Christians, for example, many of our small offenses and even some of our big ones, the larger ones, are often overlooked, they're forgiven, and they're forgotten. Alright? But where love is lacking, catch this now, where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion. Every action is liable to misunderstandings. Okay? And conflicts will ultimately arise from the lack of love for one another. Now, by loving others, of course, we're showing each other the love of God. For God is love, and we know that. But how are we to show this love? Well, Peter continues here, verse 9 and 10. He says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Oh, no. We love to grumble, don't we? It's just in our nature. But without grumbling, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So be hospitable, be kind, give of the gifts that you have been given, and bless others with them. Now, on Wednesdays in the afternoon, Pastor Brian at 1:30, okay, here's a plug for you, Brian, okay. At 1:30 on Wednesdays, Brian is going through the spiritual gifts, understanding spiritual gifts, right, Brian? And they have a good group and they're having a lot of fun. But if you can't make it on Wednesdays, let me just sum it up real fast. But very simply put, God has given every Christian the gift of His Holy Spirit, where, of course, all spiritual gifts flow, okay? The church of Jesus Christ is like a body. It functions, or at least it should function, okay? Like a body, right? Now, whereas each part of the body has its own particular purpose within the body, understand? We have all been given gifts. And we are to give of ourselves freely with the love of God. Now, why does God want us to show love to one another? Well, because of what John says here in 1 John 4:12, says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Now, this is how God's love is manifested, you see, through our lives. As He pours His love into us, it overflows to one another. At least it should. But how will they know this? Well, they won't know it unless we show it, of course. So, 1 Peter 4:11. Notice, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Three things to take note of here. Number one, if any man speaks, okay, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, if anyone is to speak on behalf of God, then they are to speak as though it were God speaking through them. How are we supposed to do that, Joseph? Very simple. Share His word. Share His word. Quote the Bible. As the psalmist declared in Psalms 119, 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God is the single most effective tool for transforming our lives from darkness into light. As Jesus himself said, John 8:32, And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that is why we are to share God's word whenever we get a chance, so that people will know the truth and be given the opportunity to be set free, like you and like me. So number one, Peter says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Number two, if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So, this is really encouraging to know that God doesn't require any of us, from any of us, than what He has already given us. Okay? Now, not understanding this is the reason why so many of us are discouraged from serving in ministry. That's why we have to have slide every week. We need help, we need help, we need help. Because of this issue right here. Okay? Because so many of us, we feel and we look at our lives, we look at our weaknesses and our own lack of abilities, and we think to ourselves, oh, you know, I would really, really like to do something for God, but I just can't do anything very well. I can't do this, I can't do that. Or we think there are others. Oh, others are better at this than I am, okay? It's much better that they do it because I really don't know what I'm doing. None of us know what we're doing. I don't know what I'm doing, okay? It's with the ability which God supplies. It's not by might nor by power, by thy spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So listen, God doesn't require from you any more than He has already given you. And whatever may be lacking, God will provide that as well. Okay? He'll give it to you, whatever you need. So, understand, God's commandments are God's enablements. God's commandments are God's enablements. If He's stirring your heart, okay, to do something, then He will enable you with the strength, the wisdom, and the means necessary to do it. The question is, do we have the faith? Do we have the faith, enough faith to believe it and to do it? See, faith is belief plus action. That's what equals faith, folks. Anyways, notice what else Peter said. Number three, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So notice what Jesus said, Matthew 5:16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, God really isn't interested in making any of us famous or bringing any of us glory. God is interested in bringing glory to His name so people will be saved. As the psalmist said, Psalms 115 verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory because of Your mercy, because of Your truth. I love that verse. So, that, of course, as we minister with the abilities that God has given, the effect of true ministry is always to bring glory to God. Okay? Not to any of us. Okay, and I pray that God would help us with that. So number one, we are to share, we're to exhort, we're to encourage and comfort one another with the Word of God. And number two, that we would have faith to minister the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given to us as a body of believers. And number three, that whatever we do in word or in deed would all be done in such a way that would bring glory and honor and praise to God and to none of us. Okay, let's continue. 1 Peter verse 12 said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." Okay, it's a great verse. Whatever gave us this idea that nothing bad will ever going to happen to us, all right? Even though there are people hurting all around us, somehow we feel and get this idea as Christians like we're immune, okay, from such sufferings. Not true. No way. Trials are coming our way. And the Bible is very clear about this. So when they come, don't think it's strange. Don't think, "Oh God, why are you letting this happen to me?" as so many try to fight with God because of it. Hey, this is life. Get ready. Be ready and know that God's going to be there with you through the trials. Okay. 1 Peter 4:13, he says, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." All right. You know, as we've been seeing through our study through Peter here, he is not speaking about suffering for doing evil, is he? We deserve the suffering that we get for doing evil. We know that. But here he is speaking about suffering for doing good as partakers of Christ's suffering, who of course suffered for doing good. Okay? He suffered for me. He suffered for you. And if we do suffer, he's saying, you know what? Rejoice if you're suffering for good because you're in good company. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew 5, 11 and 12, he said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If we suffer for doing good and for being good, then praise God. Great is our reward in heaven. Praise the Lord. Our life stood for something that had eternal significance. Okay? Notice 1 Peter 4:14 and 15 as we continue. "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." Verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters." Can we read that one again? "Or as a busybody in other people's matters." Oh man, I'm not a murderer. I'm not an evildoer. Oh, but how many of us are busybodies? Oh, God help us. Okay. You see, there is no reward for suffering as an evildoer or a busybody. We have brought this upon ourselves, and we will pay the consequences accordingly. 1 Peter 4:16. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner." And this is one of three times in the Bible that the word Christian is used. It is the name which was given to the church, to those in Antioch. And that is where they were first called Christians. And it is a word that very simply means Christ-like, to be Christ-like. That's all it means to be a Christian. And so, they were saying they were like Christ. Now, that's pretty amazing, and good luck for any one of us. What a name to try to live up to, right? The name of Christ, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to love one another, to love our enemies, to forgive each other. Wow. You know, He's the one, of course, who stood for the commandments of God over the traditions of men, didn't He? The commandments like, love your neighbor as yourself. Honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. And He went on to say later on that, hey, these things, they're actions of the heart, aren't they? Oh, Joseph, I'm not an adulterer. Well, Jesus says, you look lustfully after a woman, you commit adultery in your heart. Oh, I'm in big trouble. Right? Oh, you know, I'm not a murderer. Oh, well, if you have hatred towards your brother, well, you already, that's where it starts. It's a matter of the heart, folks. You see? And this is what Jesus stood for. This is what He said. What? And that's the question. What's wrong with this list? Don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't have these evil thoughts. You see, what's exactly wrong with this problem? Okay? If the problem is, there's nothing wrong with it. These commandments are good. What is there to be ashamed of is the question. Listen, the real hurt, the real shame and the pain that comes in this life comes from not observing God's commandments. Not by observing them, but by not observing them. All the suffering. Okay, the Bible calls it sin, folks. That's what's going on here. And I, for one, proudly proclaim to be a Christian. Okay, because I'm... And if I'm going to be persecuted for it, for ostracized or marginalized or whatever else because of it, well then praise God, because my life was worthy to be called a true Christian. Because like Christ, my life and your life, if we stand for right, what's right and for what's true, then it will be worth the calling and the name of what a Christian really means. To be Christ-like, you see. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Let's continue. 1 Peter 4:18. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? What about those who don't obey the gospel? What about those who have rejected and who have just totally turned their back on and have denied and even spoken evil against the gospel? Those who even just refuse to obey, right? What's going to happen to them? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 13:41-42, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness. Verse 42, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Okay, don't get mad at me. Jesus said this, okay? Churches don't want to preach this stuff nowadays, right? Oh. I love you, you love me, let's not talk about eternity, okay? As Paul warned us, Ephesians 5, 6 and 8, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. No longer in darkness. But understand the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Okay? This is what the Bible says. I'm just the messenger. I'm just reading. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, Peter says, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Now, notice Peter says, according to the will of God. It could very be the will of God that we suffer for His name's sake. And Peter and all the disciples, you know, they suffered for the will of God. Jesus Christ Himself suffered for the will of God. Jesus said, John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And Mark 8:31 says, and He, Jesus, of course, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. You see? So again, the will of God. And First Peter here, again, in verse 19, he says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. So, if any of us are to suffer according to the will of God, what are we to do? Well, Peter says here, we are to commit our souls to Him. Yet, so many of us are willing to exchange our souls for the temporal pleasures of this world. Notice what Jesus said as He was asked, Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So the question for us isn't, what are we willing to give in exchange for our soul, but rather, what are we willing to give up to keep our soul? You see, God has offered us something far more valuable than money, than health, than relationships, or anything else this world has to offer, because as we know, it's all temporal. It's all going to burn. All right? And everything that God has offered us is eternal. And it's free. God's love, God's forgiveness, and His eternal life has been offered to us, to you, and to me, thanks to the cross of Calvary. The question is, do we want it? Do we want it? Well, let's pray. Father, thank You for this time, this message of Peter sharing and speaking to our hearts the truth, Lord, of Your Word. As the believers who were standing for You would certainly suffer for Your name's sake in this time, and in this time as well. But Lord, we ask that You would give us the boldness and love for one another, or even our enemies, that we would stand strong for You and not be ashamed of what You've given us, Your love, Lord, that we know You want this world to know. You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, You want to use our lives to reach out to those who are perishing. And so please, Father, help us shine brightly for You. Please, Father, we need Your help. Apart from You, we can do nothing. Send us Your Spirit. Empower us for Your glory, we pray, before it's too late for our friends, for our families, even for us, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.